it's not good enough anymore just to have a wellness have just sort of this general wellness program. You really have to have someone who is in charge and embedded in your culture of your company.
Hello and welcome to Love as a Business Strategy, a podcast that brings humanity to the workplace. We're here to talk about business, but we want to tackle topics that most business leaders shy away from. We believe that humanity and love should be at the center of every successful business. I am your host, Jeff Ma, and as always, I'm here to have conversations and hear stories about real people, real businesses, real life. My guest today is Kathy Gregory. Kathy is a workplace wellness specialist who is deeply committed to fostering healthy and flourishing work environments for organizations. Armed with a robust background in health and wellness, she crafts strategies aimed at developing comprehensive wellness programs and fostering healthy behaviors to enhance employee morale and productivity. Kathy's overarching mission is to instill a culture of wellness that empowers individuals to enact positive transformations, both personally and professionally, and she tirelessly serves organizations by devising tailored approaches to optimize the health and well-being of their workforce. Through the implementation of multifaceted wellness initiatives, encompassing elements such as physical activity promotion, nutritious eating advocacy, stress mitigation techniques, and many other beneficial lifestyle modifications, Kathy endeavors to cultivate an atmosphere of wellness, ultimately yielding a workforce that is not only physically healthier, but also happier, more fulfilled, and more productive. And who wouldn't want that? So I am excited to have join us, Kathy. How are you doing, Kathy?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful Thursday here in the Woodlands, Texas.
Awesome. Wonderful. Wonderful. And, you know, talking about having done this for so long, talking about love and culture and all these things, you know, a theme that always pops up is this idea of self-help, self-love, self-care, being able to only love others as much as we love ourselves and take care of ourselves. And I can't help but be excited about this topic that you bring today, because usually we're really, really stuck in the kind of mental and cultural, emotional side of that self-help, but also there's a larger picture to that I'd love to dive in with you today. So I'm super excited, but I wanted to just kick it off first, just centered on you, Kathy. I'm wondering, what is your origin story when it comes to your passion here and your work in wellness? What got you here?
That's a great question. It was back in 2013, I had gotten to a super unhealthy place in my own life. I was working a job that I was really pretty burned out in and really didn't have those words though. Like I just didn't, I was feeling anxious, really probably borderline depressed. I wasn't showing up well for myself at work, for my family. I mean, things just were not working. And, you know, finally, I think a lot of us get to the end of our rope. We're like, okay, enough is enough. I need to start making some changes in my life because, you know, I don't want to just survive. I want to thrive. I mean, to me, that's the goal, right? For all of us, we want to thrive in whatever it is that we decided to do. And I was not there. So I began just making such small changes in my own routine, kind of healthy habits. I really just started walking once a week. And a lot of times we think, well, gosh, if I'm going to do something, it's got to be this huge overhaul of my life. But really, the truth of the matter is, it's just start doing something. The action provides results, and it's the results that really keep you motivated in doing it. We kind of get that backwards sometimes. So I started walking, started feeling better. And I was like, okay, I'm sure this is not by accident. I need to figure out how to do this, how to do that more. And then I started eating healthier. And then, you know, I mean, it just sort of was this snowball of things, healthier habits that I put into place. And then I came to this place that, gosh, you know I'm not the only person struggling with this. I've got to figure out a way to really make this the passion that I've gained from it, like make it into the purpose of what I'm doing. So I found this health coaching certification. It's through the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and it's a year-long thing. So I went through that and got my certification, and that was in 2016, 2017. I started my own company, KG Wellness, working with individuals and organizations, like we just, like the intro says, and I haven't looked back. I mean, it's just been a lot of fun getting to know lots of people, getting to see the true impact that wellness has in an organization, but also in the individuals who make up the organization. So that's kind of my story, condensed version of how I got started.
That's awesome. I have to, I guess, ask the question that's kind of really right off the top of my head here, where I really want to know, how do you see, in like kind of in your perspective, wellness, physical wellness, health, these types of things that you're pushing for, how are these directly connected to our culture, like company culture as we know it? It's obviously good for us as individuals, but how do you see that connection exist?
Well, so you can think probably when you go into work, right? Like how you feel on a daily basis. So just think, if you go in, if you're not healthy, if you aren't taking care of yourself, you can think of that, how you feel there also. And in my opinion, those two people who show up at work, it's a huge contrast, right? If I'm a healthy person, generally I have more energy, I'm happier, I'm more productive. That person at work is very different than the person who is unhappy, no energy, not very productive, probably looking for another job. You know, I mean, those two people are very different. And so from a culture standpoint, I think you can really see how that can show up on a team or in your organization. If you have people who are happy to be there, looking to connect, feel a sense of belonging, feel like their, you know, company really is investing in them when it comes to a wellness standpoint, I think the contrast between the two employees is what really helps to drive that change in culture for your organization. Now, I will say, through a lot of experimentation through the years, it really does have to be a top-down initiative, though, because I mean, it's great to have employees who are in there and feeling better and all of that. But if we don't have that upper level who's sort of modeling it and it's a priority for them, it's kind of difficult for it to really seep into the culture of an organization.
Mm. And can you kind of, I guess, define how it's different, like personal wellness versus like corporate wellness, if you will, or like when you talk about wellness in these different areas? Obviously there's healthy habits we can all build individually, right? But when you enter the workplace, what are you more focused on? What's the shift in that concept?
Well, I think it's just it's a mind shift, really, for people to understand that how they show up at work affects everyone around them. So, you know, to your point, I have my own personal responsibility for myself and my own wellness. But when I come to work, what I do, what I say, how I show up affects everyone around me also. And so I think, you know, having that in the back of your mind, that it's not just, you know, hey, I'm at work today. It's how am I at work today? How am I showing up in this moment? I think building resilience, I know that's something that you guys talk a lot about in your book, but I think, you know, wellness is an investment in your resilience also, because a a healthier person is generally a more resilient person. And so I think it shows up there too when it comes to organizational structure. And, you know, if you have a very resilient company, I would almost venture to guess that most people are pretty healthy also. And it's, so they kind of go hand in hand. But I think, I mean, does that answer the question?
Yes.
Think, you know, that it also, it's not just physical health, but there's a lot of kind of dimensions of wellness. And so physical is one, but it's like social. In fact, I wrote them all down so I wouldn't forget. So it's physical, it's social, it's intellectual, it's emotional, it's spiritual, it's environmental. And I've even added one, financial, because I think financial wellness is a big piece in all this too. But, you know, when you come into the workplace, it's really, you know, trying to focus on all those facets and not just my, you know, am I physically healthy or not?
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I can't help but be wondering, you know, what I've spent so much time in the kind of behavioral space of work culture. And you have me thinking about this larger kind of ecosystem of not only how we treat each other, our mindsets, but our actual literal physical health, our well-being, our clarity of mind, and all these things. How do we build this? Like, what's your approach when you come in with clients or your coaching or helping others? Where do you start in building this, especially considering, I'll add this wrinkle of, you know, some people are not well motivated or well equipped for their own personal health, and really adding this factor of, hey, we want to show up at work better too, is not going to motivate them or push them any further than they've been able to do on their own. So how do we actually move the needle on that?
Well, I think it's really building relationships. I mean, you have someone, let's say, for instance, someone like me or like a wellness coordinator that comes, that maybe you hire into your organization, and you start really with the upper level management, you know, your executives, saying, okay, we're committed to this and it's a priority, and making sure that that's communicated throughout the organization. I generally start with what I call wellness insight survey. So I understand it's anonymous, so I get, you know, really honest feedback, truly understanding what the top needs, wants, interests are for the employee population. And then from that, we design programs that really hone in on those needs, the things that they're really interested in and that they need. And I will say, most of the time, they're like top four. So it's usually physical health, so exercise, nutrition, stress. And stress is always number one. Like, stress management, burnout is always number one. Then it's usually like exercise, diet, those two can interchange. And then financial wellness is always in the top four position also. And I think because, you know, the financial wellness that really can impact, right, stress and things like that may be going on, kind of underlying going on. And so you just begin to build programs around that. So maybe you have this great health insurance program that has some of the pieces that you can pull from that can help. So maybe it's coaching, maybe it's some kind of diabetes prevention program. So things like that. And then you can do fun things. You can begin to do some fun things that kind of pull people in and help them see, you know, begin to see that, hey, this isn't so bad. This is kind of fun. So like challenges. Step challenges are a great thing. I've done a lot of different kinds of challenges, but challenges can be a lot of fun. Workshops. So helping people understand a little bit more about some of these topics that they're interested in, helping them dive a little bit deeper. And I do think the coaching is an important piece also, because that's the piece, whether it's group or individual coaching, it really can help make it real for that person and to help them see how to begin to implement some of these things in their life. Because as I was saying in the beginning, a lot of times we think, well, it's got to be this entire overhaul of my life to get healthy. And really, it can be try to walk 5 minutes a day. Like, it can be as simple as just starting with something like that. But when people are used to thinking all or nothing, mindset, it's difficult for them to think, oh, well, gosh, 5 minutes could actually make a difference in my health. So, I mean, kind of start with just understanding what everyone wants and needs, and then building programs around that.
Interesting. I think maybe I have a jaded view of people, because it seems like when we talk about health, it seems like companies may invest in programs and gyms and access and all these other things, but you can bring a horse to water, but you can't kind of make them drink. So is there a part of, can you talk me through, I guess, the part of the work that comes with, how do we shift people over to caring or even recognizing that there's opportunity here? Because that's where my head is at with work, especially workplace wellness, where like we can invest a lot of money into access, but if they don't use it, or if we don't kind of build a culture around the value of it, it feels like it could be a waste.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, that's absolutely what I find. The engagement piece is the most important piece. And just because you build it doesn't mean they'll come. That's for sure. So especially when it comes to wellness, because it is a very private, personal thing, And so I think it's not good enough anymore just to have a wellness have just sort of this general wellness program. You really have to have someone who is in charge and embedded in your culture of your company, because someone who just sort of comes in and goes out and comes in and goes out, like it's not as permanent as you really need it to be and for people to see. So there needs to be some branding, like having a fun contest to name the wellness program, maybe putting some t-shirt, kind of really like any other product that you're putting out there. There's got to be sort of a strategy around making sure that it's communicated well. I mean, that's really important and people understand what it is. But having someone who can come into your organization and really begin to build those relationships. Another great piece that I didn't mention is having like a wellness committee. So you have people, let's say, from different areas of the organization on this committee, people who probably would, that's just part of their own personal health. They have like a personal health philosophy. So somebody who's probably doing the work anyway in their own life, and pulling those people into your committee from different areas, but so that they can also be your kind of your spokesperson out there in the organization, helping you get the message out of the things that you're doing and encouraging people to give it a try. But it is also, I think, just upon the person who you've got kind of in charge of the program, really just going out and building those relationships, having them be a part of your onboarding process. So when you've got new employees coming in, that person actually is personally speaking with the new people coming in and helping them understand like what they have access to and how to, get involved, and personally inviting people, into the different functions or things, activities that you're doing. It's a very personal, it's something that's you have to have someone who's personally kind of involved and passionate about it to help bring everyone else along and just educate them what it's about, what it can do. And, it's not a quick fix. It's not a, here's the pill and, you're going to feel better. It is the type program. It just takes some time for people to really understand and to be a part of.
I'm curious, Kathy, with today's landscape, with, I guess, for a while we are all working remotely, but even now, the workplace looks very different. Pre-pandemic, a lot of the typical things you'd see is like on-site gyms, access, programs that bring food, to the office and things like that. But now with so much more of a regularly dispersed workforce, not only are we less connected than we ever were, but a lot of these health benefits have to look really different. Right. Can you talk a little bit about that shift and what wellness kind of looks like nowadays as compared to traditionally?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the big things you mentioned is the gym, right? Like having a gym, whether it's in the office or, you know, giving someone access to it. I think, you know, a lot of times we think, well, that's our wellness program. You know, here's this gym or whatever. And it's funny because so I live in the Woodlands and we have this area there called the Waterway, and there's some really nice buildings there with these beautiful gyms on the first floor. And every time I run by, I can count on one hand how many times I've seen people, you know, taking advantage of the gym. You know, and so I don't think you're right. We've transitioned. I mean, a gym membership is not a wellness program. It's really, again, just understanding the needs, I think, of your, whether it's your team or your organization. And that means you have to really talk to them, right? And I think, you know, that's the piece that sometimes we're missing, is that we aren't having those conversations, you know, and I think training too, because I do think, you know, the mental health piece of it, because we've become kind of disconnected and all of that, it's, you know, we're seeing a lot more mental health problems and issues and things of that nature. And so we've got to, I think, invest in some training for our upper level management so they can identify if they see someone in their team having a problem, but also just having the conversation, like making it normal to talk about your mental health or your stress or, you know, your workload or whatever the case may be. But I do think it's you have to be a lot more intentional in those conversations, especially if your team is working remotely, because you're not just right down the hall to see or hear. And so it requires those check-ins. It requires having, you know, those a little bit more uncomfortable conversations. And I think, you know, to get people comfortable in having those conversations, there's some training that has to kind of go in behind all of this also. Mm.
And that's where I see such a strong connection to Love as a Business Strategy as a whole, is that these uncomfortable, tough conversations are at the center of all of our good changes that we espouse for, because that's what it takes. It's encouraging to hear you say that that's such an important part of it, because whether we're talking about health or wellness or work or, you know, bottom line stuff, you know, those difficult conversations, I think, are what are necessary to be had to make sure that the team is moving forward together in step. I'm curious, when it comes to, you'd mentioned the, like kind of the top things that typically come out of assessing what they need. You said stress is at the top of that list. What do you say to the business owner or the CEO or whoever that you do this assessment and it comes out that stress is the top piece, but what you're hearing from people is that it's the company's fault. Like, I'm stressed because of the work, of the environment, of all these other things. Like, where do you go from here where the work itself is the problem? What kind of program do you make around that?
Well, you know, I mean, I think, you know, just having that awareness, number one, is important, right? And I would say probably most business owners or CEOs, probably, I don't have to tell them that. They probably, you know, already know that that's going to be a top issue. And so I think it allows you to then do some self-reflection, right? Like, am I doing something here that is causing undue stress? You know, is it something environmental? Is it, you know, something occupational? I mean, what's, you know, what's going on? Trying to really get to the root of what's causing it. But what I do know, though, too, is that, you know, a lot of times we're setting ourselves up for failure because we aren't taking care of the physical side, because exercise is such a great antidote for stress. Eating healthier affects how we think and how we feel. getting enough sleep every night is a big piece of how we're able to handle, you know, things the next day. And so it's kind of a multi-pronged solution. I mean, you have to, I can't necessarily go in and change the organization as far as, you know, how teams are set up or if there's, you know, access to remote work or not, or flex schedules or things like that. But I think it's something you can begin to kind of do some self-reflection and see, and even, you know, maybe focus groups, I don't know, to try to figure out like what's at the root of this. But in the meantime, you can also be building programs and educating people on, okay, so you're saying that stress is your number one need or, you know, interest or whatever, but here are some things that you can be doing that can help you in this area, and then helping build programs and educating and things like that to kind of go in, you know, that can kind of mirror or kind of fit together.
Awesome. I think there's a lot to, for me to like shift my own mindset on, because I think there's so much to this part of the puzzle that I haven't been accounting for. I think I'm always deep in the kind of relational, behavioral piece of this. And I think I just haven't given enough of space here for this idea that like we can definitely show up better. We can make better decisions. We can be like treating each other better based on, and have more compassion for each other, just based on this kind of shared understanding and living out of better health, better wellness, and just better state of being. So I really appreciate this perspective that you've brought today, Kathy. And I, before we close out, I'd love to kind of hear from you a little bit for the audience, I guess, if they'd like to reach out, they'd like your help, if they want to know more, what can they do? How can they reach you?
Absolutely. So yes, please, you can, I'm on LinkedIn. That's a great place to find me. I have a website, which is just kgwellness.com, or you can email me at Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y, at kg-wellness.com. And then just a quick shout out. So May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so I just hope that my goal is to help people begin to have those more difficult conversations. And so just really think about that this month, this next month coming up, because it's a great opportunity to begin to just really talk about it.
Awesome. That's amazing. So there you have it, folks. Thank you, Kathy, for joining today and sharing your expertise and that perspective for us. Hope that inspires you all to go take a look at your own wellness, but also think about how that might connect to your teams and your world. So with that, thank you to you all for listening, for tuning in, continuing to be supporting us. Check out our book, Love is a Business Strategy, if you haven't yet. Subscribe, rate the podcast, give us your feedback, all those good things. And with that, we'll see everybody next week.